Okay, so we're going to continue along with this idea of community development. And did you know that literacy falls under that category? We're used to most people around us being literate here in the West, but you get into other parts of the world, in the poor areas, there's a lot of people who are illiterate. And so we think that it's important. We can translate the scriptures, but if they can't read it, what's the help? And so it's very important that we teach people literacy. Oftentimes, it's been said that groups who, one of the first things that they've read, or many unreached people groups, one of the first things they've read is the Bible. And that's because Christians have come and learned their language, developed an alphabet, and then taught them how to read. And they got to read the Bible, one of the first things. We'll be hearing that a little bit later on here when Brother Steve Sanford talks about their work in Venezuela. So, Aaron and Ayana, come on up. And Ayana Otto is our literacy consultant with All Nations. And Aaron oversees a literacy program where they're going to be talking about literacy versus orality in the church planning strategy.
Okay, I get to introduce to you Ayana Otto, All Nations' first literacy coach. Ayana, we get to talk to them about literacy. Now, this is a big term that we throw around here at All Nations. And maybe the place to start is explaining a little bit for our audience what we mean by literacy. What is it?
Okay, Aaron. So unlike some census results that you can read, where if you can sign your name, glory be, you are literate. Here at All Nations, we say, if you can read and understand what you read about as well as if someone had said it to you, and if you can write and be understood about as well as if someone, as if you had said it, that's when we say, glory be, you are literate.
Almost like an equation where hearing comprehension equals reading comprehension, that sort of thing.
Very much. And I'll tell you what, my dream would be that in the areas where we work, that kind of literacy is the norm rather than the exception.
I see. That's quite a vision. Care to unpack it a little more?
Okay. So here's the deal. If you look at the All Nations vision, that we desire to see communities of believers in every language group living out the word of God, boom, right there, that access is going to be critical for living out the word of God. If you go down further into our mission, that we partner with churches to send teams who facilitate, we'll come back to that word later, Bible translation and community development while working to establish indigenous churches. Again, if we want to just be facilitators for translation and for community development, that level of literacy really matters.
Okay. I like your emphasis on facilitating. And yes, so translation, community development, church planting. Why is literacy important for translation?
Okay, because you can have the best translation in the world, and if people can't read it, it's a locked book. And I kid you not, people wind up sleeping with it on their chest because, we've all had nightmares in the night, right? And what could be like the word of God to scare away the bad dreams? And it gets used that way.
Like a lucky charm.
Like a lucky charm. The other thing is, thinking about translation still, like Adam Boyd talked about, we're not coming in to be the big daddy translator who knows it all and does it all, or the big mommy, whatever the case may be. We are looking to empower local people to be the primary translators. And it's not rocket science to think that being able to read and write really well would tend to make you a more equipped translator.
Yes. So what about community development? Why is this literacy important?
Okay. Well, my favorite quote on that topic is a former U.S. president who said, well, education is important because without it, a man might rob a train car, but with it, he can steal the whole railroad. However, however, it's not quite all that dismal. The other thing is the story of a lady, and I wish I could remember which country she was in, but she had a shop. And, you know, every so often they come around to collect the taxes for your shop since your business and things. And she took a class for learning to read and write, and especially in her case, to do math stuff, numbers stuff. And they came around with their sheet of paper the next year, and they shoved it on the counter. They said, "You owe us some big number." And she looked at the sheet. She said, "I am not an ignoramus anymore. You cannot steal from me nor cheat me. Your paper says I owe you half that much, and that's all I'm going to pay." That is why literacy matters for community development as well.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Now, translation, community development aren't really the ultimate purpose.
No, they're not.
The ultimate vision. So when it comes to planting those churches, discipleship and church plant, what part does literacy play? Why does it matter?
Well, it partly matters for individual believers because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And yes, we hear him through the Holy Spirit, but we also hear him through his word. The word of God is very precious.
I struggle to believe that it's okay for believers to not have free access anytime or be able to study it deeply.
Honestly, the thought of limited access or inability to study scares me, and it kind of hurts. It's not right. But the other thing is a story that my mentor in the literacy world told several years ago about a couple they were working with in Panama. The whole story is amazing, but I'm going to shrink it down to this couple had gotten creative access through literacy to work in a village upriver. And as they were doing literacy work and people wanted more and more materials to read, because, I mean, who wants to swim in a bathtub, right? But as people wanted more materials, this couple was able to say, "Well, you know, we do have the Word of God here. Would you like to read that?" And, "Oh, yeah, sure. You know, this is something else in our language." But in the process of working in this village, they came back to their home community for an annual get-together of all of the workers that their indigenous church had sent out. And it kind of came up during this convention that their three-year-old son wasn't growing and developing like he should be. Turns out he had MS. So they set up an appointment with a doctor in the larger city, but it was, you know, it was a ways out. Mm-hmm. So they decided, well, we'll go back upriver and work in our village upriver for a while till it's time for this appointment. Well, as they're traveling upriver, the river rose very suddenly, and the mother was holding their son. But when the river rose that suddenly, he didn't have any muscle control to hold on, and she wasn't able to hold on. And yeah, they found the body 3 days later. Had to bury right away because of the setting, and there wasn't a way to preserve. They also had a 16-year-old daughter, and the choices that they had been making to walk with God, to do the book way, were not popular in their community. And people were coming to them and saying, in front of their 16-year-old daughter, "You know why you lost a son, don't you? It's because you're following the book way. That's why you lost a son." And one day, in the course of this, you know, the grieving and the questioning and all the things that go with losing a child, and then all these things on top of it, the expat missionary couple was visiting with this couple who was basically church planting upriver. And the wife from upriver said, "You know, you guys have walked with us and it's been wonderful." But she said, "Really, what's made the difference in the long, dark nights is being able to go to the Word of God." And that is why literacy matters for the church.
Access to God's Word, you're saying.
Yes.
That's a great story.
And it matters for the church as a whole, not just the individual believers, because there was a lady, and again, I wish I could remember the name of the country, but she thought that every time the pastor got up, everything he said was the Word of God. Well, I have some wonderful pastors at my church. They preach some great sermons, but not everything they say is the Word of God. That's a little bit dangerous.
Right. And now they can see for themselves.
Now she can see for herself.
Yes. Okay, well, we called this session something about literacy and orality in church planting strategy. So let's talk about that a little bit. Orality, there's oral cultures. I've heard of a method of teaching that doesn't involve literacy at all. It's, the way I understand it, it's very oral focused. It's maybe focused on those oral communities. Oral Bible storying, I believe, and sounds like it has a lot of good things going for it. What's your comment?
It does. I've actually been privileged to participate in about 3 different oral Bible storying groups in 3 different capacities. I'm leading one right now with the Sunday school group at our church. And I really like the method. There's something very immediate and intimate and comes alive about sharing the word of God just face-to-face as a story. Because like Brother Ken talked about earlier today, how are they going to catch the glory without seeing it in the story? And oral Bible studying does a really good job of delivering on that.
Because it is a story.
It is a story. Mm-hmm. I will say I have qualms about treating oral Bible storying as a substitute or replacement for literacy for several reasons. One being that the stories we use are very carefully crafted. But earlier this year, I told the story of Noah and the Ark and all that in 2 minutes. There were details that got skipped. It was okay. It just had to be that way. Mm. But I would be uncomfortable with substituting for that reason. The other thing is we craft a series of stories. The series that we're working with right now is a conglomerate of several, but it focuses on God's covenants all through Scripture. But again, there's not just details that get skipped. There are whole stories that get skipped. It's not a good substitute. Probably the most concrete way I know to talk about the danger of skipping is to share a story, again, from the person who mentored me in oral Bible storying. And she was working with a group of pastors, and they told their way through a number of the early stories in Genesis, the fall and various things. And they came up to the story of the 2 angels who came to visit Lot when he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and very sordid story. But she told this story with a group of pastors, and afterwards she wanted their feedback, because we always talk about the story afterwards. She wondered, one of the questions was, what didn't you like in this story? And they didn't like how inhospitable the people were in Lot's town. But there wasn't much else that they didn't like. And after a while, my mentor said, well, does anyone not like what Lot was offering with his 2 daughters? And they're like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, but they're just women. You know, it's okay. And my friend is an avowed feminist, more or less. And she had an issue with this. I'm not an avowed feminist, but I would have an issue with that as well. There's something wrong with saying, well, they're just women, so, right. You know. Whatever. So she said, I realized we had some extra time in our schedule, and I dropped in the story of Ruth. Now, from a teaching standpoint, that was a super gracious, super smart move, because the story of Ruth does help to bring some balance to the story of Eve, right? But here's the thing that gave me pause. They wouldn't have known unless she had said, oh, I will drop this in as well. Mm-hmm. As a companion to literacy, I couldn't be more excited about oral Bible storying. But as a substitute, I'm really uncomfortable with it. I'll leave it there.
Well said. Yeah, that's a good little introduction to this subject of orality, literacy. And actually, Ayana has written an essay on the subject. We just posted it on our blog. So if you go to our blog, you'll find the essay there. It's called Why Literacy Still Matters, delving a little bit into the subject of literacy and orality. Thank you, Ayana. And all of you listening, if this matter of literacy sounds intriguing, if it sounds like something that maybe you could help to contribute to, definitely get in touch with us. There's need for... On most teams, there's need for some literacy work, some people to spearhead that work. And there's also ongoing need for more literacy coaches as the years go by. Thank you.